Welcome to Dads, Daughters, and Dollars, a financial podcast for everyone. Now, here's one of my favorite people.
I'm Sean, the dad, clearly the favorite.
And I'm Caitlin, the daughter, clearly my dad's mistaken.
Hello, hello, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Today, we're going to talk about health insurance.
Yay.
Set off the fireworks. Woo! So personally, I'm turning 26 soon, which based off of Obamacare, that means I'm no longer on my parents' health insurance.
Correct.
So all of my friends who maybe are turning 26 later this year, or just anyone who is maybe 24, 25, or has a kid who's turning, you know, their mid 20s later on.
Or anyone who needs health insurance.
This episode is for you. So I'm just basically, I don't want to call myself a spoiled brat, but I definitely think sometimes I am a bit spoiled just in the fact that, so, you know, this is coming up and I've been kind of busy with work, and Dad, thank you so much. He's done a ton of research for me on my behalf of like, what's the best case scenario? You don't want to pay $1,000 a month for health insurance when you're, you know, I'm a fairly healthy 26-year-old. My job keeps me pretty active. And I think the average 25, 26-year-old might not need as great a coverage. We don't need to go to a colonoscopy. We don't need a cancer screening. We don't need XYZ at our age. And I just wanted to ask you some questions about how did you find, first off, a scale of 1 to 10, how fun was researching all of this?
Well, I just want to take issue with one thing you said. You are as far from being a spoiled brat as possible.
I didn't say I was a brat, but I am spoiled.
No, here's the thing. When I knew that you had booked going to Qatar and you're going to be there 35 days, and that was in mid-November to late December of 2022, your insurance runs out January 31st of 2023. I knew I had done a tiny bit of research in September, but I didn't do the lion's share of it until like late December and most of January. Because I knew you were going to be booked. You just finished golf. You're leaving to go to Phoenix to shoot tennis. And then you're off to Indian Wells for 2 weeks. You don't have time. You're doing these 10 and 12 hour days, or you're in the midst of traveling. You don't have time to hold on the phone. If you're going to ask me what my experience was like on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know if negative 20 comes in.
Okay.
Comes about.
Okay.
And this is it. I'm a type of person who likes to do his homework, you know.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, I don't want to get a surprise when I get the bill. I want to know exactly what do you offer. That's the cost. Okay, I agree to that. Then I'm going to do it. But I can't tell you how many people couldn't answer any questions, or you hold online for 45 minutes and then you get transferred to another 20-minute hold, and then you get transferred to someone who can't answer one question.
Right.
So that's where I say negative 20.
And I think sometimes in life, it'll throw you the customer service centers that can't get their stuff together, or they hang up on you mid on hold, right? Or mid transfer. That's happened to me a bunch of times. So I wanted to ask, what plans were you considering, or was there one obvious choice? And then also maybe just as a brief run over, because I actually need to know, there were PPOs to be considered and there were HMOs. And because we live in California, when I initially, me just thinking, the internet can answer a lot of my questions, I was like, okay, I know Covered California is a thing. So I looked it up and I entered in my information. They said, you qualify for this. But that's obviously not the whole picture, right? They give me, I think I sent you one page and it was like, I put in all my information from what I made last year. I'm a freelancer. So obviously, you know, it's going to be hard for what I qualify for because last year I did pretty well. So they might not want to give me as good of a deal. I definitely didn't qualify for any financial insurance under Covered California. But I put in all my information and they said like 273 was like a plan that worked for me. And I said, that doesn't sound too bad. For me, I'm aiming hopefully under $300, maybe $325. I don't really know how expensive it gets, but I don't want to pay that much more for health insurance, especially because I don't think I'm going to be using $300 a month worth of health insurance.
Correct.
So the one thing I was going to say was, can you define for me so that I'm just clear and the difference between an HMO and a PPO, if there's a simple definition for it that you're familiar with?
Well, I know that people have said in the past that if you have a PPO, you're going to get better coverage.
Okay.
Or you can see better doctors or whatever. And with HMO, you wouldn't necessarily get that same thing.
Okay.
I actually asked that question, and I'm turning to the page, but I believe that they told me the difference was, if you get, so you're going to a doctor, whether you have an HMO or a PPO, let's say that doctor takes both. If you now need a specialist, I broke my wrist and they want to send you to some specialty orthopedic surgeon who deals with wrists. If you get a referral with an HMO, it could supposedly take 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you're like, God, I got to have this taken care of.
Yeah.
With a PPO, the referral, like, okay, here's the doctor I want you to go see, your general doctor says. And that same day, they, via, you know, email or whatever, electronically, they send that person a referral. You just have to go, and they give you the phone number. You have to just call up and say, hey, I'd like an appointment. So maybe they can't get you in for 2 weeks. But all the information is already, the referral's there. This is like, supposedly with the HMO, it could take like 2 weeks for them to try and find a doctor that will take HMO and all that stuff.
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
So in your, with what research you've done, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, do you feel like specialists maybe aren't as covered by HMOs? Or they're still covered, but you're just going to be paying covered, more?
You're just going to maybe not get in a timely manner.
Okay. Which is strange. We're still a paying customer. And technically, if an HMO is going to pay a doctor more.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say you went to medical school and you come out and you graduate in the top 2% of your class. So you're like, I have all this medical school debt and I'm 7 years into my career. I'm not taking maybe the HMO insurance. I refuse to take it because on this general procedure, and I'm going to make it up, a knee surgery. If I'm getting insurance from a PPO, I would be getting $12,000 for that surgery, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm getting it from an HMO, the HMO says you can still do the surgery, but you're only getting $8,500. And the person goes, if this was a private person with no insurance, I'd be charging $40,000. I'm 12 is me really reducing my rate.
Yeah.
Right? And the HMO says reduce it even more. I'm like, it's not worth it. I'm not taking that insurance.
Yeah.
So that's how it tends to be. Like, for instance, we found out one of your doctors will not take the plan I'm going to recommend for you. She just refuses.
Right.
So, but my process was I spent, I would say, well over 200 hours on the phone. And I finally got all the answers I did. And once it became clear, and you do find out, let's say you had three doctors. You have a gynecologist, you have a general doctor, and you have an orthopedic surgeon because you needed an ankle surgery 10 years ago. And so you see him on every 18 months and he checks your, you know, ankle that it's not bad or whatever, right? So those are the three main doctors. You have to then call those three doctors and say, this is the insurance I think, you know, can you put me through to your insurance department? Can you tell me, would you accept this insurance? And it could be Anthem Silver 70 HMO. And they go, no. Do you take Blue Cross PPO 80? You know, they all have it. When we put into Covered California, which when you substitute Covered California, that's basically Affordable Care Act. And what Covered California, and depending on what state you're in, does, if you're gross income is low enough, they will subsidize part of your premium. So if your premium was $274, I don't know what the exact cutoff is in every state, but the cutoff in California might be like $45,000 total gross income. And if you made over that, we're not subsidizing you at all. But if you made $32,000, of your $274 premium, we might pick up $50. You're paying $224.
Right.
So that's kind of how it would work. But I had to call each one of your doctors, and you basically only have two doctors, and say, do you take this? Do you take this? Do you take this? And like, no, no, yes. And then when we got to yes, the yes was like the $450 a month. I'm like, that was like over $5,400 a year to maybe go and get a physical and see the doctor one other time because you got a really bad cold and he's going to give you an antibiotic.
Yeah.
It'd be $5,400. I'm like, this is outrageous. I want something that's better. And listen, the $5,400 a year doesn't just cover that. If you had to go in the hospital, and when I say $5,400, that's adding $450 times 12. It's like $452 or whatever the number was. It came to like $5,400 a year. I'm saying for only two visits a year because that's in general what you do. You get a physical and maybe you have to go one other time.
I pray I don't have to go to the hospital anytime soon.
Right. But if you did have to go to the hospital, you'd have to pay the $5,400 and they would start kicking in for the hospital, but you could still pay another $3,000. I think it's up to $8,200 or something like that total. So if you needed a surgery that was $100,000, the max you would pay is $8,200. And because you had already paid for the whole year $5,400 in your premiums, you'd only owe another $2,800, whatever the difference is. So I found out to me it was like so outrageous. I got to find something a little bit more expensive that your doctor will take.
So that's a good segue, actually. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to ask my dad. We'll dig into what you actually decided upon and what's the best choice for me after the break. We'll see you then. Okay, cool. We're back. So, Dad, you decided upon what I'm looking over. He's lovely in that he writes everything out, and then he'll retype and print it all out. Nothing is really on a laptop screen. There's always papers somewhere because everything is always printed out. So, we're going to do the Silver 70 HMO plan. And which provider is that with?
It's LA Care Health Plan. And here's the really weird thing about helping decide this was, so I call, we knew for a fact that your gynecologist wasn't going to take anything but like the most expensive premium type stuff.
Right.
So then what you do have as an option is just pay the bill 100%. And so that bill was going to not be too outrageous. It's not like she's charging $1,000 a visit.
No.
It was going to be too outrageous. So it was cheaper to pay her with like a credit card and then pay smaller premiums because between her 100% cost and this HMO, you'll be able to see all your doctors for significantly less than $5,400.
Super expensive PPO, yeah.
And if you had paid the $452 a month, she would have only taken 70%.
Wow.
So you still wouldn't. It would have been a total loss when I did the math. So I call up. We have this general doctor group with UCLA out here in California. So I call them and I said, do you take this? And I, no, yes. And the yes, or at least the higher one. And then the guy goes, but we do take this HMO. And he goes, LA Care HMO. I'm like, oh, you buried the lead.
Yeah.
I keep doing the guessing and going on all these sites and saying, well, what about this one? About this one? I must have called the insurance department at UCLA like four times.
And they know your name and your number by heart now.
No, it's not quite like Schwab. With Schwab, we dine 4 days a week all the specialists
more like
over
five.
There.
Yeah.
So, but he said to me, oh, but we do take LA Care HMO. And I'm like, you do? My daughter could see all her doctors? She goes, yes. So then this question comes up to my head. I know UCLA has six health centers. I don't want it necessarily to be just the one that's closest to your house. What if you were at crypto.com arena shooting a Lakers game?
And something happened.
You could go to a UCLA one close to there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to drive all the way back to... And the one there might have slightly longer hours or shorter hours or whatever, depending. So you now have an option of going six different places and they're all covered. And any specialist they send you to is covered.
That's great.
Now, it doesn't mean that if you went to an orthopedic surgeon or whatever the specialist was, that the copay wouldn't be like higher.
Right.
But the majority of the bill would be covered.
Great.
So that's good.
So just... because I sometimes like being transparent with numbers, this Silver 70 HMO with the LA Care Health Plan, I'm looking over your shoulder right now, is $274.64 a month. That's what I'm paying per month, so that should anything happen, I'm good.
And that, and by the way, that you add that up, it's someplace over $3,200 a year versus $5,400.
Yeah, so I love saving that $2,000. That's great. That can go towards other things. That can go towards trips, groceries, gas, whatever you want to call it. So, and then, because I think we know the rough numbers offhand, there's also dental and vision. I'm a photographer. The other day I was at an appointment and someone said I should insure my eyes. I don't know that I have enough money to do that yet, but I definitely still want to invest in having someone check out my eyes, check out my vision, make sure my glasses are up to date, and same with my contacts. So vision is about like 17
a month through a plan called VSP, which is, you know, and I called your eye doctor and he said, yeah, we absolutely take that.
Our eye doctors are also the same. They've normally have been for...
And then the way it works born. With most eye doctors is they cover either glasses or contacts. They don't cover both, so you usually wind up having to pay for one. So the insurance will cover, like, for instance, if your glasses, let's say you wanted to get glasses, or no, let's say the contacts cost you for your contacts for the whole year's worth of it would have cost you $450.
Right.
I think insurance picks up $200 of that. Now, I know you've gone to Warby Parker for glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to an eye doctor, usually they mark up their frames and their lenses and everything. And, you know, they have 1,400 styles in their office. And there's like, you know, only these high-end frames and stuff like that because they're going to make more money.
Right.
So you're the one who turned me on to Warby Parker because I was like, oh, I didn't even know. And I just, you get the prescription from the eye doctor. And then I went to Warby Parker and the glasses cost me like 180.
So the thing I'll say is that my boyfriend's mom is an eye doctor. And I know there's actually technically a difference between an eye doctor and like an eye specialist.
Ophthalmologist.
There's an ophthalmologist and there's an optometrist. And they are different professions.
I think the ophthalmologist actually does eye surgery and the optometrist does eye exams.
So yeah. So my boyfriend's mom is an optometrist, I believe. And sorry in advance to Ethan and or Karen if I got that wrong. But she actually told me, I said, yeah, my glasses are from Warby Parker. She's like, I was like, what do you think of Warby Parker as someone who like sells glasses and
right.
you know, knows the quality of like the weight of a lens or like how it affects on your face and how it sits on your face and just everything, obviously, because she's a professional. And she said, yeah, you kind of get what you pay for, which now I'm like skeptical, but I still love my glasses and they're fine. But
you're the one who told me, and I had
that was
frankly got mine at Costco because now here's the thing. You go to Costco and for men, they probably have 10 frames and for women, they probably have 300 frames.
Yeah.
So you might go, oh, that one looks better on me or that's cuter or whatever. With the men, they have like 10 frames and I only liked one and I wore those for 2 years and I was 100% fine with those. I went to Warby Parker and for men, they probably had 100 choices and 400 for women.
Right.
And so there were so many more choices and the person there was really good about saying, no, those don't look good on you. Yes, those do. And I took her opinion and I agree with her.
The ones you're wearing right now are Warby Parker?
Correct.
They look good.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I told you about Warby Parker. And then she told me what she thought after that. But the point is I'm still, you know, fairly happy. And if I was an optometrist myself, I'd probably then know the difference and be finicky and, you know, or not finicky, but just want to, you know, buy the different lenses or get them professionally done or, you know, I don't know how lenses turn suddenly into prescription lenses. But the point is that's going to be about 17 for vision and then dental.
And dental, I have plans that are between $8 a month and $31 a month.
And see?
And that's what we're going to talk about later today.
That's not going to break the bank and I'm happy with that.
So if I am
at the end of that, if I'm at 31.
So if you said instead of 17, you said 16, 274 and 16 is 290 and now add either $8 or 30, you're up to 320. Potentially.
So $320 for everything, though.
For everything.
We get to insure my entire head.
Right. And then that's $3,800.
Yeah. So
versus just doctors For $5,400.
$5,400, yeah. So here's the thing I'll say is just one thought that I saw once and then I've never really stopped thinking about it since when healthcare comes up is it takes not one, not two, but three different like insurances just to cover what's in our head. Eyes, teeth, and maybe your brain, maybe your sinuses.
All body.
Yeah. Just the head. Just the head takes three. And not that it's a shame, but it's
a shame.
It's a bit of a shame. Yeah. I mean, and I'll say that some countries that have, you know, like government paid for healthcare are also sometimes not happy. I've talked to a couple of people who live in England who say the NHS is like not doing well at all. Like nurses are quitting left and right, like blah, blah, blah. But, I'm just happy that and grateful that through your research, we've been able to find something or really you've been able to find something that isn't going to break the bank and that I think I can afford and that will just, it's more of a peace of mind, right? That's mostly what insurance is that like, should something happen, you're going
to
be fine.
You're going to be able to keep 90% of your doctors with the research I did. And it just...
100%. I'll pay for it. Well, it'll be fine.
Right. But that's why I'm saying 90.
Yeah.
But my point is that it to me, it makes sense, especially when you're younger and potentially don't have any health issues, that you get the most bang for your buck. I mean, I want to do that at age 80. I want to get the most bang for my buck. And it just comes down to asking questions. The problem is all these health lines that you're calling, they're all incredibly busy. So you hold for 30 minutes for someone to pick up and you're listening to music. So what do? I love the speakerphone function on my cell phone. So I sit here in the den and it's giving me the most annoying music that repeats every 30 seconds. And I'm here lifting weights and I'm doing squats and I'm doing other, I'm trying to do something for my health because they're trying to take away my brain cells.
The one thing I was going to ask you just before we end here is, so you having been in a union, how did health insurance work in a union?
It was unbelievable. We had maybe the best health insurance in the country.
Right. So we, but did you we had pay to for pay, that?
Yes, we had to pay. There's a tiny piece that comes out of your check each month that helps pay, right?
Okay. But that happens and to then, all DGA members.
And then
members.
To cover the whole family, three full people, I had to pay a premium of $1,200 a year or $100 a month to have health care for all three of us. And that included dental, included eyes,
yeah,
and doctors.
Wow.
So that I've had,
so that's 30 per person, 10 per doctor.
Well, and then there was a deductible of 250, which was like, okay, your first $250 worth of bills, so that if you went to a doctor on your first visit and say the doctor charges $110 a visit and you're just going in there because you have a really bad cold and he's going to give you some flu medicine or whatever it is, that 110, none of that is, you know, like meaning they're not paying any part of that bill. But once you're at 250, you're like, you know, you could hit that in 3 months and boom, everything's covered. So I've had three knee surgeries under my insurance. I am covered the rest of my life for eyes, dentist, and prescriptions.
Oh, I forget about prescriptions.
Right. So my point is, it was just an unbelievable thing, and it covered you up through age 26. Mom is still covered under it. I'm on, technically, I have to be Medicare first because of my age, and I have secondary insurance through the Director's Guild.
Not bad.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean 100% of every bill is covered, but 95% of every bill is covered.
So my question is, you're like on weeks that you're not working, on maybe months you're not working, you don't have a paycheck for that to be taken out of anymore. Are you
correct.
Still paying
I'm,
that?
Because once I had 20 years in my union, I'm basically covered for health.
So, but you don't have to then keep paying $1,200 a year?
No, but I am paying into Medicare, which is more expensive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Medicare comes out of your check, but then what Medicare does, Medicare Part A, and you'll find this out, you know, when you get to that age. Once you turn 65, it doesn't matter if you make $1 billion a year. Once you turn 65, you're on Medicare Part A in this country. Okay. And that means you're covered for hospitals.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you're covered for doctors. You need a separate insurance for doctors, which is called Medicare Part B.
Okay.
And so I have to pay a premium for that, which is definitely higher than I was paying with my union.
Ah.
But my union kicks in as a secondary coverage.
So anything Medicare Part B doesn't cover, a DGA does.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So that was, I guess, our little episode.
Well, I want to add one last thing.
Go ahead. This
comes to the other, I guess, good point of this episode, which is we talked about having a loan out company. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you have a loan out company, you will be able to take write off part of your insurance of these premiums.
Yeah, which is really great.
It's unbelievable, which means you're not going to be paying $274. Do I know how much? I don't know if you're going to get $30 back each month. You're going to get $50. I have no idea.
We got to ask the accountant.
Well, they can't even say exactly until they see what your salary is for this whole year. And that won't happen until 2024.
Yeah.
But my point is, we found the best of all possible worlds, and you're going to get a write-off.
Yeah, I'm grateful,
right,
to say the least. But great. Cool. Thank you so much for letting me ask you these questions.
Sure.
This was kind of, I don't want to call it a spur to moment of the episode, but we were doing a ton of research and I came over today to record, but then also we were discussing this because 26 is fast approaching. So thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
The content on Dads, Daughters, and Dollars is for informational purposes only and does not constitute professional financial advice. Listeners should consult an attorney, accountant, financial planner, or other professionals to suit your specific needs.